From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the fourth day of August 2017. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. I recorded Commodity Week yesterday. It's up on the website already at willag.org. You'll hear a portion or all of it this afternoon, depending on which radio station you're listening to. Most of them will run it in its entirety over the weekend, and you can always hear it again at willag.org. Our panelists included Ellen Dearden, Dale Durkholz, and a newcomer to the program, Jim McCormick. He's from Allendale. Oh, and we'll spend some time on the weather forecast today, too, with Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. We'll start in North Dakota and move that cool and wet weather to the southeast from there. That came through over the last 24 hours or so. Look into the month of August, the growing season here in the Midwest, and check out what's been happening in Russia and China, too, right here on this Friday edition of our programming from Illinois Public Media, Public Radio for the Farming World.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me a little bit about what happened in Chicago today and then all the things that happened this week in your mind.
Well, I think we had a continuation of the weekly trade that finished today, primarily focusing on buying back short corn positions, selling out of long bean positions. That bean-corn ratio for the new crop lost about 4% on the week at this stage. And it all started, I think, with the first of this week trade, Todd, when it came to some ag attaché reports out of China. One in the corn, cutting their production by 5 million tons. One in the beans, cutting their imports for soybeans on higher production by about 1.5 million tons. Then came the crop conditions report, better for beans, weaker for corn. And then we came into the weather shifting in the corn belt. And one of the big features that I think we're going to have to contend with next week as we see the report results on Thursday are the possibility is the weather shift could be substantial in that the tropics look like they're going to start picking up. There's a couple storms in the Atlantic right now. The Gulf of Mexico is expected to get very active by one of the services I purchase for most of the month of August. And so at least for the central and eastern bean belt, it looks like things are going to improve substantially from what we saw in July in terms of precipitation. So I think all this added up to, you know, buying the corn, selling the beans. Corn could not move higher. Today was a perfect example. It was able to make a 2 or 3 day high, but really had no explosive nature to it because we didn't see the wheat find any kind of support when it was all said and done. So we leave the week very, very vulnerable to the beans. Technically, we're back to the 200-month moving average, and we feel like we've got some supportive fundamentals going into the report for corn, maybe globally for the wheat, but soybeans are a great big question mark, and the trade act like it.
Yeah, did they feel heavy to you this afternoon? I was surprised, I suppose, that they actually finished lower with the corn a bit higher.
Yeah, they did. I mean, we took our time filling that gap in the November, and then it seemed like the front end took over. We had the front end bull spreading, and it stayed bull spread somewhat, but we still were right 948 areas where that 200-month moving average is on the monthly chart. And, you know, we take out 945, 948 level. You start talking about downside that goes all the way down to $9. And, you know, as we've talked about before, there's in the bean chart, if you look at the last 20 years, there's a pretty good line in the sand since 2005 where you have support at 840, support at 940, and support at 1040. And those have been the three major numbers we've traded ever since really about 2014.
Yeah, support and resistance, depending on which side of those marks you happen to be on, right?
Great point.
Yeah. Just one quick summary for those who were listening to your weather portion of that. So it's hurricane season, and there are a lot of hurricanes and tropical storms and depressions that they've been tracking. It's been a fairly active season, and it doesn't finish up for quite some time. So that's where some of that rainfall comes. I like to think of it kind of, Mike, like this. I watch the western coast of Africa, where Africa juts out into the Atlantic Ocean. And if there's a tropical storm that develops there, usually it just kind of looks like a bowling ball, rolls right in through Cuba and into the Gulf of Mexico. It has a clockwise twist on it, and if it moves past Cuba and Florida, we're likely to get rainfall somewhere in the central part of the United States. That's rough to say where, but kind of depends on where it lands, and it'll in somewhere between the two mountain ranges. That's, I guess, about the time we get rain. And if we get one those during August, that certainly helps the bean crop. And the bean crop has been really under pressure. We thought this would be the case earlier in the year. It took a long time, but a lot of acres, and looks like a pretty good bean crop in the ground, though they had been small as late as of last week. You think they have begun to come out of that yet? USDA's numbers said 2% better earlier in the week.
I don't think you have moved the dial that much on the bean crop in terms of whether you've put on yield or not put on yield. I think the actual plant maybe looks better in areas that were struggling. Certainly Indiana and Ohio clients have been telling me that the color is better, the greenness is coming on, and the height is coming on in those areas that were too wet. And that's, I think, what the crop conditions picked up, Todd.
Have they canopied in your area?
Yes, they have canopied and took their time, but now they're in pretty much full bloom at this point. And we're not looking bad right now because we were blessed with a 1-inch and then a 2-inch rain. But those are all we had for pretty much the whole month of July. So it was we were at a critical phase about a week and a half ago, much like Decatur. And, you know, when I came back from there over the weekend with the crop tour and everything, it was very immature, much more immature than I thought. But it was what I was expecting based upon the precip maps.
Anything producers should be considering, I guess. I'm really thinking about old crop corn that they probably still have stored somewhere.
I'm not nervous about the corn. I'll put it to you this way. I'm taking my national yield, and the clients just got this afternoon. I'm taking my national yield down to 165.5. That's not outside the realm of, in fact, it's really close to the average on the Bloomberg survey that was released today or last night. And if that's correct, we're closer to a 1.7 carryover. And if that's the case, Dease corn should be closer to 420. So I'm not worried about old crop and new crop corn until after Thursday's report, depending on what USDA has to say. I think what I'm most worried about is the issue of the soy complex and these technicals on the monthly chart, because they do trade such a technical feature in beans that if we have weather turning and charts going against us, it could open up the downside. I think we got to be real cognizant of that as we get Thursday's numbers.
Anything in the livestock that you've been watching recently?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing in the livestock is the demand is starting to come around a little bit. I did talk to a real good friend at Reuters, though, this week, and he was asking about these trade sanctions. And I said, this is a big issue for me, both in terms of grains and livestock, and that we signed this bill in Russia. It took the heart out of the wheat market this week again because the Russian ruble's been falling. Now we're talking about sanctioning China potentially because of North Korea, and that could take the heart out of the hog market. And so, as I said to the clients in an email this week, pork and beans are a real big feature going forward because, unfortunately, we're moving in the trade mindset more like 1980 as opposed to 2000. We're moving more bilaterally, and we some of us remember that grain embargo in 1980 and what it did to our markets.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it, and we'll talk with you in 1 week.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
You're welcome. Mike Zuzula, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Well, the Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Let's take a quick look at the agricultural news now for the afternoon. Farm incomes and commodity prices may be falling for a third straight year, but farmland is generally holding its value and increasing in some cases. Gary Crawford has more.
With farm incomes and commodity prices still falling, you would expect to see farmland values falling as well. But a new USDA report says actually
land prices have held in there.
USDA Outlook Board Chairman Seth Meyer. Now, these numbers we're giving are national. The report says U.S. cropland is averaging this year the same as last year's $4,090 an acre. And farm real estate values
up a little over 2% for all land. But that's also, you know, land and buildings. That's all farmland for all purposes.
That's up $70 an acre from last year. Seems landowners are holding on to their farmland, not much sales action.
If folks think that this downturn is just a temporary softness, then you don't want to put your land out there unless you absolutely have to, because you say, well, it'll come back.
And so overall, cropland values are holding steady, except in the drought-stricken Northern Plains, where they're down by almost 4.5%, but they are up 6% in the Southern Plains. But for cash rents, USDA reports those heading down, a little bit down, an average of $8 an acre down from last year. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
Well, let's stay with USDA. As I've already told you, Secretary Perdue will be traveling in the state of Illinois on Monday. It's part of a 5-state RV tour he's out on, to hear firsthand accounts from ag producers and consumers. Stephanie Ho has more.
The secretary will meet even more people on the ground with a 5-state RV tour that will take him to Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana.
Agriculturalists are innovators. They're stewards of the land, and they want to do better. They want a safe, tasty, wholesome, nutritious food supply for all of us.
Secretary Perdue calls this a listening tour, where he especially wants producers and consumers to tell him about what they see as the most pressing issues for the 2018 Farm Bill.
Our thanks to Stephanie Ho from USDA in Washington, D.C. The secretary will be in Illinois Monday at 11 o'clock. He'll be at a farm outside of Rochester, Illinois, to check out the Farm Bill and what producers in this state think about it. He'll hear about fertilizer issues in Chenoa at the FS at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then at 6 in the evening, he'll be in Georgetown at the Georgetown Fair. I'll try to travel along with him the whole way. Now, let's get a quick update of the weather forecast for the state of Illinois. Jim Angel is here from the Illinois State Water Survey.
The National Weather Service forecast for this weekend indicates that temperatures will remain cool. Highs on Saturday and Sunday will range in the mid to upper 70s in the northern half of the state and the low 80s in the southern half of the state. Overnight lows on both nights will range from the 50s in the north to the mid 60s in the south. There is a chance of rain on both Saturday and Sunday. Possible rainfall totals range from 0.5 inch in northern Illinois to 1.5 inches in southern Illinois. There are no chances for rain through Thursday. Temperatures will remain cool with highs in the 70s in the northern half of Illinois and the low 80s in the southern half. Winds will be out of the north through the entire episode. And by the way, cold spells in August do not put us at higher risk for an early fall frost. It looks like the below normal weather will continue into next week across the central U.S. Precipitation is expected to be below normal in northern Illinois and above normal in southern Illinois during that second week. This is state climatologist Jim Angel.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Friday afternoon. Eric Snodgrass is here. He's from Agrible. Hey, Eric, it's a unique day for August. I had to put a jacket on today.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's something we've been thinking about in the forecast now for a couple of weeks as potentially happening. And honestly, it's kind of been a unique event for this summer. And what I mean by that is that we have had most of the summer, you know, a pretty dominant ridge that's been over the Western Corn Belt. And because of that, we've really lacked a good, you know, persistent sharp trough that could kick off the development of a low pressure system. But we had that. And basically that low pressure system over the last 3 days went racing through parts of the Dakotas, bringing some rain into some fields that have been absolutely parched. So this was some big beneficial rains in a state that has a lot of soybean acres this year. That rain went through Minnesota, Wisconsin, dragged a front through us last night, and we have had a very cool morning. And I'll be honest with you, I'm absolutely loving it. I'm sleeping with the windows open. But that trough is interesting because it's going to be here for a while. In fact, I don't see that trough really moving out of the way to maybe the end of the second week or the beginning of the third week of August. Now, while we're sitting in that trough, the western United States is under a ridge, and they are basically catching fire, literally. The heat that's kind of racing up the West Coast has prompted, heat advisories and excessive heat warnings, triple-digit heat. They've dried out some locations in the Pacific Northwest, which do grow a lot of crops that are in competition with the central states. They have had, not only fires breaking up, but major crop losses due to some heat stresses recently. So what we're talking about here is maybe that pattern, at least we're looking in some of the long-range models, could shift and could break down such that the big trough that I keep talking about that's over the Gulf of Alaska, that may shift a little bit to the east, which would cool things down over the West Coast and potentially bring in some mid, let's call it third week of August, warmer than average temperatures. But, the bigger picture is this. Basically, because of the recent rains we've just gotten, and the fact that over the next 5 days, we're seeing two systems that could dump a lot of rain across the central states. You know, we're going to be looking at a few things that could spell, some relief to the bean crop and some good, good weather for August for the bean crop. In fact, when you stretch it out and look at the whole month as an aggregate, we see, because of the dominance of this trough in the beginning of the month, the whole month really shaping up to be near average to slightly cooler than average temperatures, with really some quite cool anomalies centered over like the panhandles of Texas and Oklahoma in that region. You know, right now the long range models aren't even picking up on major moisture stresses either. And that's what the markets are seeing, and they're trading on that. So that's a lot, I know, but that, you know, those are the bigger picture things I'm seeing, at least as we get to this part of August.
Sounds typical of U.S. weather. It's very difficult to forecast. And I'm told over time that's because of the north-south ranges on both ends of the continent, and that other places around the world are a bit easier to manage because their mountain ranges run east and west. I suppose maybe we ought to check in on some of those, Europe and Russia?
Yeah, let's talk about Europe and China and Russia. You know, Europe has had an interesting summer. When you look at it on the whole, it's been a very warm summer. They've had some pretty intense heat waves that have hit it at some crucial times for their wheat and corn and soy crop. But they've also had some cool downs and some rain. So it's kind of hit or miss on the drought. We do see drought in parts of Germany and France, parts of Italy and parts of Spain. And then a big section of Ukraine is also in drought. But nearby there, you just go north and east of that. We're into Russia now, their major wheat growing area. They have had some cooler weather and some wetter weather. In fact, when we look down from space at a vegetation health index, which is basically looking at, you know, what we call the NDVI, the wheat crop in Russia looks to be very good. And that might help carry the rest of the world with their wheat supply simply because of, you know, the pockets of stress we're having in the U.S. But I'll tell you one thing that I'm going to have to watch very closely as we get through August is what's going on in northeastern China. They keep kind of getting promised rain in the models, and it's under-delivering, and they have spent most of the month of July very hot and very dry, and the global drought monitor would suggest that region is having some stress. And I'll tell you, when compared to last year, northeastern China does not look like it has quite the same size of a garden spot when compared to this year. So, you know, we look just outside of the U.S. to see what other global pressures we might see in our markets, and those things might become more of a story once we get through August and the U.S. crops, you know, are more or less made and we know what we're going to be getting. So, yeah, I want to give you an update on Northeast China and Russia at this point.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it. We'll talk with you again next week.
Great. Thank you.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He's with Agrible. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.